Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Ki Mei Teischa. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Achron Shel Pesach, the last day of Pesach, in the year Tavshin Yud Beis, 72 years ago. The Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of the last days of Pesach in the year Tavshin Nun, 34 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in the prophets where it says, "Ki mei tzeischa mi'eretz Mitzrayim," just like the days of going out of Egypt. In the future, Arenu, I will show you Nifloi's wonders. So Rebbe asks the question. He says, we know that the future redemption is going to be much greater than the redemption we went out of Egypt. And that's why, according to the opinion of Ben Zoima, we do not mention going out of Egypt in the future when Mashiach comes. Also, even according to the opinion of the Chachamim, the rabbis, that we do mention coming out of Egypt when Mashiach comes, that's because there's a certain quality that going out of Egypt has over the future redemption. But nevertheless, the redemption of going out of Egypt is still going to be much less compared to the future redemption. So if that's the case, the question is, why does it say, like, the days of going out of Egypt, I'm going to show you future redemptions in the future? In other words, that the superiority, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes is, I'm going to show you wonders, just like it was when we went out of Egypt. The wonders in the future is going to be much greater. Also, we have to understand, where the verse says, Arenu, I will show you wonders. In other words, what's the main quality? What's going to take place when Mashiach comes, not in the wonders itself, but the fact that Arenu, I will show it to you. In other words, Hashem is going to show us the wonders. So the question is, what does that mean? Hashem is going to show us the wonders. Also, we have to understand, when it says Arenu, I will show you, it doesn't say to you specifically. It's like it's open-ended. In other words, but on the other hand, when it says Ki mei tzeischa, the day you went out is referring to you specific. So then it should have said not Arenu in general. It should have said Areka, I'm going to show you. Just like tzeischa, it should have said Areka. And why did it say Arenu focusing on an individual? Now this is what the Zohar says, that the reason why he says Arenu in a concealed way, because Arenu is referring to who? Moshe Rabbeinu. So if that's the case, the question is, okay, but we still have to understand why the simple meaning is referring to the Jewish people. Why is this Arenu in a not a focused manner? Shabbos says that the point of the explanation is that when you're dealing with miracles, generally speaking, there's two types of miracles. What does that mean? There are miracles which are above nature. For example, when we left Egypt, water turned to blood. That's above nature. Water is water and blood is blood. When water turns into blood, that's a miracle above nature. That's one type of, that's one example of a miracle above nature. And then you have the miracle of splitting the sea, that you have the sea that was there and all of a sudden it dries up. It becomes dry land. That's a miracle above nature. That's one type of miracle. Then there's a miracle which is enclosed within nature. And in that miracles that are enclosed with nature, you have two types. What are the two types? You have one type that the garments of nature is, it goes through the garments of nature, but you realize it's still a miracle. What will be the example of that? So he gives two examples, the holiday of Hanukkah and the holiday of Purim, that even though they were both natural occurrences that took place, whether there was a war in the times of Hanukkah or Purim, there was interceding with the king and so on and so forth, but everyone knew it was a miracle. Everyone realized, the expression is roll classes, the whole world realized it was a miracle. So in other words, it's a miracle, but it's enclosed with the nation, with some garments of nature that it wore. And then you have a different type of miracle, which is basically where the garments of nature conceal the fact that it's a miracle. And that goes to everything. For example, the fact that you're breathing is a miracle. But because we're constantly breathing, we call it nature. So again, so far we learned three points in reference to miracles. Point number one is the miracle above nature, like the splitting of the sea, the water turning to blood, etc. That's one type of miracle. Then you have the miracles within nature, and then you have two types. One type is where it gets enclosed. It's a miracle that's enclosed within nature. And then you have something which doesn't even look like it's a miracle. It's nature that we call it nature, but the reality is it's a miracle. Now, it's known, the Rebbe says, the source of miracles that are enclosed within nature is from a much higher place than the source of a miracle which is above nature. That's in general. And more specific, the source of a miracle that's enclosed within nature, the second example, where you don't even realize that it's a miracle, that comes even from a higher source. So in other words, this miracle above nature comes from one source. A miracle within nature, where it's enclosed in nature, comes even higher. And the miracle within nature, you don't even realize it's a miracle in nature, it comes even from a higher source. And like the verse says, in Psalms, La'isa neflais kedoilus levadai. To do the tremendous wonders and miracles, levadai. What does it mean, levadai? So the Chazal tell us that even the person that is experiencing the miracle doesn't realize the miracle. And the source from these miracles that we don't realize the miracle comes from levadai, from Hashem himself. So the fact, for example, let's say we're breathing, we see, we're alive, that is a miracle. We don't even realize it's a miracle. And guess what? That comes from Hashem himself. And that's going to be the tremendous revolutionary idea that's going to take place when Mashiach comes. That Arenu, we're going to see these miracles. In other words, because the miracles that's going to happen when Mashiach comes is, we know it's going to come from who? From Levadai, from Hashem himself. Like it says, like the Chazal tell us, that in the past, in other words, when we went out of Egypt, and that was basically a miracle above nature. So what does it say? Hashem and his whole court came to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. But when the future Mashiach comes, Hashem himself is going to take us out of Golus. And the miracles that took place when we left Egypt came from Hashem and his whole entourage. And the miracles of the future Mashiach comes is going to come from Hashem himself. And that's the powerful idea of Arenu. Hashem is going to show us the miracles. That even though the miracles come from Hashem himself, from the highest place, it means the only one that knows that it's a miracle is Hashem. But nevertheless, we will have the power to see those miracles, and we're going to see it in a revealed way, the miracle of it. Okay, so this is basically the outline of the Chassidic discourse. We're going to go now deeper into this concept. So before we go deeper, let's just recap. And so we'll have to hold on and go deeper into this. So what the Rebbe explained so far, you have three types of miracles. Two types and one is two. So you have, let's break it down to three to keep it simple. Miracles above nature, like going out of like the splitting of the sea, the makot where the water turned to blood. A miracle within nature. That means it's a miracle, but it's enclosed in the skies of nature. For example, Hanukkah and Purim, and then you have the miracle that you don't even realize it's a miracle. All the miracles that happen constantly, that we're alive, we're breathing, we're seeing all that stuff we don't even see. Now, and the source for each one, so the ones that are the miracles above nature comes from a lower source. The ones that's disguised in nature comes from higher. And what's the highest place where it comes from? Those miracles that we don't even realize it's a miracle. Now, when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen is we're going to have the highest miracles, but we're going to see that it's a miracle. So, okay. Now, it's known, the Rebbe says, the question they point out is, this that it says, Kimei Tseis Chomeretz Mitzrayim, like the days, plural, of going out of Egypt. So it says Kimei is plural. Now, the fact is, when we left Egypt, we left in one day. And when you mention going out of Egypt, what does it say? Zachar, remember, as Hayoim, the day that you went out of Egypt. You left in one day. Or like it says, Laman Tiskers Yoim Tzeischa. We left out in one day. What's the idea of Kimei plural? Why is it saying Kimei Alash, expression of plural, when it was only one day? Rebbe explains, and he says like this, that when it says Kimei plural, going out of Egypt, obviously, even though we went out of Egypt one day, but it's including also the splitting of the sea. And the fact is, when we have the commandment to remember going out of Egypt every single day, so we include there not only going out of Egypt, but also the splitting of the sea. And the same thing when we talk about the story of going out of Egypt on Pesach, and we know that it says you have to talk about all the details of the miracle. So also what's included in there is also the splitting of the sea. And that's why he says ki meitzeischa, like the plural days of going out of Egypt, and plural because it's including going out of Egypt and also the splitting of the sea. Now, so that's the case. Why, when it says the mitzvah of remembering to go out of Egypt, so it's only the day? In other words, it's not. It doesn't include the multiple days, which in theory should include the splitting of the sea, because the main mitzvah to remember going out of Egypt is remembering going out of Egypt. And if you don't remember the part of splitting the sea, it doesn't take away from the main mitzvah of remember going out of Egypt. Now, based on that, so what does it mean when the days of going out of Egypt, which again we know now is referring to going out of Egypt and the splitting of the sea, and like those two types of things in the future, already I'm going to show you miracles. What does that mean? That when the ultimate redemption, we're going to have miracles and wonders, just like when we went out of Egypt, and also the miracle of splitting the sea. So we're going to have both components. Where do we see we have both components? Because the prophet says clearly when he speaks about the future of redemption, it says v'hechrom Hashem eslashin yam etzrayim. Hashem is going to split the sea of Egypt, and there's going to be a path, just like it was for the Jewish people when they left Egypt. So the Rebbe says we have to understand the connection between these two ideas, going out of Egypt, that I'm going to show you the wonders. In other words, that even the wonders that come from Hashem himself, it's going to be a way, like we learned before, we're going to see it. So we're going to see the miracle in them. And so these miracles are going to be in the future. And we're also going to have the wonder what of the splitting of the sea. So again, so just to recap. So we just added another point. What we learned till now, that when Mashiach comes, Arena, we're going to see these powerful miracles, which are happening, we don't even see it. But not only reference to going out of Egypt, with the egg going out of Galus, but also the splitting of the sea. So we're going to understand this with an introduction as follows. This is what we learned, that the source of miracles, which are enclosed in nature, comes from an even higher place, and even higher than the miracles which are above nature. Why is that? Because when it comes to a miracle which is above nature, so what happens there is the revelation, I'll say it in Hebrew, of Oyer Ein Sof HaBligvul, the infinite part of Hashem which has no limits, which is higher than the world, and from that source, Oyer Ein Sof HaBligvul, infinite part of Hashem, and that's the source of the miracles. So what happens is when the infinite part of Hashem comes into the world, so what happens is the nature of the world explodes. And as you're changing the energy in the finite natural world, and therefore it cannot get revealed into it. So in other words, when you're dealing with a miracle above nature, why is it above nature? Why all of a sudden, wow, the water changed to blood, or God split the sea? Why are we blown away? Because it's coming from where? Oyer Ein Sof HaBligvul, the infinite part of Hashem, which is infinite, and the world can't handle it, and that's why it blows it up. It becomes a miracle above nature. On the other hand, when you have a miracle which is enclosed in nature, so the revelation of the infinite part of Hashem, like we just discussed, which is above the worlds, what happens is it becomes part of the world. And because it becomes part of the world, it doesn't blow it up. And so, for example, you're breathing, you're hearing, you're seeing, you're doing. So even though it comes from a high source, but the world is able to grasp it. And it doesn't blow it out of context. Now, but on the other hand, since the world is finite, and we know finite and infinite is two opposites, so in order that the revelation of the infinite part, or even say legal, should come into the world, so how is it possible it didn't blow up? We just learned by a miracle above nature, it blows it up. How does it not blow it up? And the answer is, because when it comes in, it doesn't come from Oyer Ein Sof HaBligvul, it actually comes from the essence of the infinite light. It comes from a higher place. And the essence of the infinite light is all over. And that exists even in the finite nature of the world. So in other words, when it comes to the miracle above nature. It's coming from Eretz Yisrael. It comes into the world. It has to break the nature. But on the other hand, if the source is from the essence of Hashem, the essence of Hashem is everywhere. So you can live a normal life, you can breathe, you can see, whatever you're doing normal, and guess what? You're connected to the essence of the infinite eye of Hashem. That's one reason. Another reason, of the power in the miracle which is in nature, versus the miracle above nature, because when you're dealing with a miracle that comes into nature, what happens, what gets revealed there, that Hashem not only is in everything, but Hashem actually rules and is in control of everything, including nature. So since Hashem rules it, it doesn't have to blow up. So two points. Point number one is that it's coming from Atmos Hayin Sof, which is there. And B, Hashem runs the world. And if it doesn't, Teva doesn't have to, nature doesn't have to get obliterated. And this gets revealed where? In a miracle which is enclosed in nature. Because when you have the revelation of Hashem's rulership in the miracles above nature, what does that mean? Hashem has the power. He can change. He can obliterate nature. And that happens in the miracles above nature. But in a miracle that comes into nature, what happens gets revealed that the infinite part of Hashem that rules nature itself, that nature should go according to the will of Hashem. Okay, so in other words, so we have now a powerful explanation why even though the energy that comes into the miracle which is in nature is coming from a higher source. Why doesn't it blow it out of context? Because A, Hashem is all over, and B, Hashem rules it, and it doesn't have to go ahead and obliterate it. Now, to explain the difference between the two different explanations and of the extra quality over the miracle that's enclosed within nature, like we just learned, which A, Hashem is everywhere, and B, Hashem rules it, and therefore doesn't have to explode it. Well, understand that way so it's brought down the Zohar, where it says in the Akedah as follows, that from the way nature runs, nature, we can know the greatness of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Besides the fact, when a person meditates about the way the world runs, the stars, the moon, all the whole operation of the world, when you meditate about the world, the way it's running, day, night, the whole function of the world, you come to the realization, one second, this is not happening by itself. We all know nothing happens by itself. There must be somebody in charge over here. And when you start meditating on the fact that the way nature runs, not only does it run, but it actually runs consistent, and there's no change. There's day, there's night, there's day, there's night. At night you have the moon, by day you have the sun, you have the stars. There is consistency. So the world is running, and B, it's running in a very, very consistent manner. And like it says in the Torah, clearly, lo yishbaisu. It's not going to stop. There's going to be a function. The world's going to function, and it's going to function consistently. In other words, even though we're dealing with a world that was created almost 6,000 years ago, 6,000, not 10, not 100, not 1,000, not 3, almost 6,000 years, and nevertheless, there is no weakness, and there is no change in the way nature operates. Just like 6,000 years, almost 6,000 years ago, the sun comes up in the morning, it goes down at night, the moon comes out, the stars, the world is working perfect. Perfect. No changes. In other words, and not only that, not only is the world running constantly, but there's no weakness in the power of everything Hashem created. And it was all the Hashem, everything Hashem created in the heaven, and everything Hashem created in the earth. So in the heaven, everything still exists. In the earth, the species still exists. Maybe the person changed, but the species, the humans, still exist. And they're strong, just like when Hashem created the world. So when you meditate on all this, wow, look, Hashem created the world. He created it. It's running. It's consistent. You know Hashem is really awesome. And it was the power of Hashem that from there comes the energy into the world is infinite. It's really powerful. Now, On one end, you're going to say, one second, but the fact is the nature of the things Hashem created comes from the energy which comes into it. You know, so it doesn't come from the infinite, it comes from the finite energy. And the fact is every single person has his own uniqueness based on the specific energy that we have. In other words, so you're saying that, so on one hand we see that we have finite energy, but that is only in reference to the nature itself. So yeah, everyone is unique, but the consistency in nature, that there's no change and there's no weakness, where does that come from? That comes from the infinite part of Hashem, what we call it, Oyer and Soif Obligvul, which cannot come into the world. And that creates the consistency. But in order to know the greatness of Hashem through the nature, you have to meditate. You have to meditate on the fact that, again, look at the world Hashem created. Look at the fact that it's constantly working. It's consistent. It hasn't gotten weakened for a second. Wow, that gives you insight into the power of Hashem. Now, when you see all of a sudden a miracle, it means nature changed. What do you see? Even without meditating, you see, by a miracle, you don't need to meditate. You see that it's coming from the infinite part of Hashem. And He's not limited to the nature of the world. So, in other words, on one hand, nature, by meditating, you see the greatness of Hashem. When a miracle comes, you have to meditate. You see the greatness of Hashem. That He's not limited. He can do what He wants. Another quality in a miracle, compared to nature, that the infinite power, Oyer and Soif Obligvul, that gets revealed constantly in the natural world, and those, even after you meditate on it, you see that where is that power coming into? It's coming into finite. In other words, that the way the nature, the finite world operates, doesn't change. And when there's a miracle, what you see happens is comes in a greater power, which is not limited to the finite, and it creates a change. But nevertheless, And from this reason itself, there's a quality in the revelation of the infinite power of Hashem that gets revealed specifically from the consistency of nature, compared to the revelation of a miracle. Why? Because when you have the infinite part of Hashem, the way it comes through a miracle means you're changing, you're breaking up the laws of nature, which basically really has no connection to the world. But on the contrary, through the fact that the world, nature runs consistent, what do you realize? What gets revealed? That even the energy of the world, which is finite, is connected to the infinite part of Hashem. So what he's saying is like this, very powerful. When you look at the miracles, you see, wow, Hashem is infinite. But on the other hand, when you look at the world, the way it runs constantly and consistently, now you see the real power of Hashem. Because, hello, who can do that? Rebbe says, you like to explain this based on what's explained in the classic Hasidic discourse in Rebbe Rashab from the year Tafrei Samach Vav, that in the way the world operates in a natural form, and you have the consistency, even though that nature comes from the energy which gets enclosed into the world, and the energy that gets enclosed in the world is a finite energy, is because the source of the energy that comes in there, it doesn't come from the vessels, but it actually comes from the light of the Kav. In Hebrew, it's called the Oyer Kav, from the light of the Kav. And the source of the light comes from the Oyer Insight, from before the Tzimtzum. And so what the Rebbe is saying is bringing from the Rebbe Shabbos to show you that even though you see the Wuha comes from the miracles, which totally changed nature, but on the contrary, from the fact that in nature, of the nature of the world, you have the power of consistency. How do you have that? How can that work? Because it comes from the light of the Kav, and that source is from the infinite part before the Tzimtzum. And like it's explained in many places, that the source of the vessels comes from the source of the vessels, the finite, the limiting, comes from the Tzimtzum, from the contraction, from the concealment. And the source of the Kav actually comes from the infinite part before the Tzimtzum. Obviously, everything goes through the Tzimtzum in this world. And like it's explained in Eitz Chaim, that after the Tzimtzum, Hashem draw down from the infinite part of Hashem a one line from the circle. Now it's known this, that this Kav was able to pierce through the darkness of the concealment, has, and in order to create a piercing through, a constant power and strength. Why is that? Because its source comes from a Kabbalistic terminology, Tiferes Hanelam, from a very, very high place, which is even higher from the light that was revealed before the Tzimtzum. So he's saying that the source is even higher from the light before the Tzimtzum. So based on this, he'd like to explain that this, that we have a quality and a superiority in the revelation of the power of the infinite part of Hashem, which gets revealed how? From the consistency of nature, compared to the revelation of Hashem that comes through a miracle. Why is that? Because the light from before the Tzimtzum is finite. And what does it mean is finite? It's finite, it's limited to the infinite. And therefore, that power cannot come in revealed way in the world. So as great as the infinite light before the Tzimtzum is, it can't come into the world. So therefore, the revelation of Oyu HaSoivev, which is the revelation of the light before the Tzimtzum, and that's the source of all the miracles, and if it comes into the world, it's going to break the nature. It breaks the nature, and it breaks the boundaries of the world. On the other hand, the light of the Kav, and that's the source of the consistency in nature. What's the source we just learned? It comes from Tiferes Hanelam, from a very, very high source. Oh, and because it comes from such a high source, it has within it, and it can unite two opposites, infinite and finite. And therefore, the revelation of finite, which is everlasting, from the Kav, could penetrate and exist in the finite world. So Rebbe is explaining now, it's obviously a deep idea, that basically, because when you're dealing with a miracle above nature, the source is from a place where it's infinite, and it cannot handle the world. Versus the world, the nature of the world, we see the greatness of Hashem comes from Tiferes Hanelam, and from that place you can have in the physical world infinite, finite together, which is hard to comprehend, and the only reason why it doesn't work is it comes from a very, very high source. And that takes place specifically in the nature of the world. Now, so based on what we just learned, that even the consistency which takes place in the natural world, how does that happen? It happens through by drawing in the infinite part of Hashem, which is above the worlds, and and the quality of the miracles that you're able to draw in this infinite part of Hashem, which is which is higher than getting about in the materialistic world through the power of the opposites. So you can say that these two types of miracles, in other words, a miracle above nature and a miracle within nature, there's two types of revelation of the Oyer and Sefer Begleevil, the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than the way it comes into the world. So based on this, Rebbe explains as follows. Just that we learned before, that the quality of miracles that come into nature, what are the qualities? That the revelation of the infinite part of Hashem gets enclosed in the finite world itself. Why is that? Because in the miracles, you also have the quality of nature itself. And therefore, the superiority of a miracle that comes into nature is connected to the miracle itself, which means you're revealing the Oyer Ein Sof HaBegleevil, the infinite part of Hashem, which is not, on its own technically cannot come into the world, but in there gets revealed that the infinite part of Hashem, which cannot come into the world, but it actually rules on the world, that the nature itself should be able to receive it. So what Rebbe is explaining over here, a deep concept, and he's saying like this. He's tying it all together. What we learn? That when a miracle that comes in nature, what does that mean? That the world can receive it. And not only Hashem rules it. Where does that come from? That all comes from this infinite part of Hashem, that he's not limited to nature, and he can be in nature, and he can rule nature, and he cannot obliterate nature at the same time as well. And the same thing applies also when you're dealing with the miracles which is above nature. In other words, that also the quality of this idea of miracles, that the miracles revealed, and this, that the infinite part of Hashem, Oyer Ein Sof HaBegleevil, rules on the nature, also in a certain way applies to the miracles above nature. What does that mean? He explains like this. When you have a miracle which is in nature, that means, what does that mean? The nature stays the way it is. You're seeing, you're breathing, you're hearing. Nature doesn't change. So in other words, the rulership of the infinite part of Hashem on the nature is, what does that mean? That the way nature operates, it's the way Hashem wants it. Hashem wants us to breathe, to see, to hear, whatever Hashem wants us to do. On the other hand, in the miracles above nature, what happens over there? The nature actually gets obliterated. It's not anymore water, now it's blood. So what happens over there is Hashem's rulership on the nature is on the essence itself. Before it was water, now Hashem changed it to blood. So in other words, what he's saying is like this. The way Hashem rules through a miracle above nature, and in nature, it's technically the same way, and the effect is different. In above nature, he changes, he rules the water, the water becomes blood. In a miracle within nature, he rules the breath, that the breath can remain breath. So therefore, you can say that the difference between these two types of miracles and their sources, that a miracle that comes into nature is what are you revealing? Oyer and Seif Obligvul, the infinite part of Hashem, but it allows finite to stay in existence. So therefore, in reference to this revelation, there is an existence of finite, but the finite is operating based on the way Hashem wants it to run. On the other hand, when you're dealing with the miracles, which is above nature, so what gets revealed? The infinite part of Hashem, and he's not limited to finite, and therefore what happens is the finite nature gets obliterated. Like, and similar to what's explained elsewhere in reference to, he gives the example of will and intellect, Ratzon and Seichel. So Ratzon, which is will, and Seichel, which is intellect, it's a parable for the light of Soiviv, which hovers over, the will hovers over, which is the source of miracles, and Oyer HaMale, the one that gets enclosed, which is the source of nature. In other words, this, that the will comes into the intellect, and it affects it. It should be a reason for the will. It's only in terms of the array of the will, but the will itself does not come into intellect, because there's no really reason for will. This will is, you want something, fine. You can try to maybe come. It's a, when you have a reason, it's only a ray, but it's, you're not. Will is much deeper and much stronger than intellect. But nevertheless, there is a superiority in miracles that come into nature. How is that? Because the miracles that come into nature, you see specifically the way Hashem is ruling over the nature itself. And you can say that the difference between these two types of miracles is like the difference between, and I'll say it in Hebrew, I'll translate it, in Kabbalah's two terms, bittul, the acceptance of Yichudei Elah, high-level union, and the acceptance of Kabbalah's soil acceptance. In other words, like this. Bittul means you accept. Now, there's different reasons why people accept things. Yichudei Elah means you accept. You see the light, you accept. Bittul the Kabbalah's soil means, no, I don't see the light. I really don't want to do it. I'm going to accept. In both cases, the end result is you're accepting. The ultimate goal is bittul. You should accept whatever Hashem wants. Again, there could be two reasons why you're doing it. One is because, okay, I'm connected to God, whatever Hashem wants, he and I'm doing it. And the other one is, no, I'm not really connected. I don't see it, but I'll do it anyway. That's called Kabbalah soil. What does that mean? This that we say in reference to the infinite part of Hashem, the Oyer and Seif Obligvul. So what happens is, when there's a miracle above nature, so what happens? So nature totally gets obliterated. That is like the acceptance of Yichudei Elah. You give up your right. You give up your right to be who you are. Which comes from what caused me to do that? When you meditate on the idea, I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll translate the Kula Kameh Klachshiv. It means in reference to Hashem, what it's nothing. So when you realize ultimately Hashem is the creator of everything, Hashem is the one that maintains everything, okay, whatever Hashem wants goes. That is called a bittul of Yichudei Elah. That means you're nothing, and that's connected to the miracles above nature. The nature totally gets obliterated. Hashem came in, boom, there's no more water, it's only now it's blood. But this, that the nature stays the way it is, but nevertheless it does what Hashem wants, not based on the natural setting, but you do the will of Hashem, Which means that a miracle that came into nature, nature is like, I want to do what I want. Like, for example, so that's connected to the idea of the acceptance of Kabbalah Sahel. I'm not ready, but I'll do it anyway. And those, even though it, you remain in your being who you are, and like the Talmud says, the expression is, Avdu Befkeri Dichalei, you want to just do whatever you want to do, but nevertheless, in reality, I'm going to listen to Hashem. I'm going to do whatever Hashem wants me to do. Now, Rabbi said it's known that the advantage of the acceptance of Yichud Eilah means I'm accepting. I see what Hashem wants. Hineini, I'm ready to do it. So what the advantage over there is that the acceptance is my whole being. I just gave myself totally over to Hashem, whatever Hashem wants. In other words, there's nothing left within me that's not accepting. Not like when you accept in the level of Kabbalah Soil. Because over there, I am who I am. In action, I'm going to do what you want. In Bitl of Yichud Eilah, no, whatever Hashem wants, my whole being is to Hashem. In Bitl of Kabbalah Soil, no, I am who I am. Okay, fine, I'll follow, I'll listen. So in other words, so the advantage and the acceptance of Yichud Eilah, I'm totally whatever Hashem wants. There's no part of me that's not accepting. But on the other hand, in Kabbalah Soil, it's only the action that's accepting. But the advantage in Kabbalah Soil accepting is in the acceptance itself. Because that's real acceptance. Because it's not because who I am. No, I'm not ready to accept. And then that's real acceptance. In other words, when you're dealing with the acceptance on the higher level, why are you accepting? You realize Hashem runs the world. It's all Hashem. So therefore, my whole being is for Hashem. And so my whole being, but it's not real acceptance. You didn't really accept because you're not here anymore. You gave up all your rights. When, on the other hand, when you're talking about the acceptance of Kabbalah Soil, that means I am somebody and I have different ideas, but I'm accepting myself to do what Hashem wants. Even though I possibly disagree. For example, like a servant that has to do what the master tells him to do. Because it's irrelevant how you feel and think. That is a stronger acceptance. Shreva says you could say that the same thing would apply with miracles that are enclosed within nature. In other words, even though that the acceptance of nature to do what the infinite want, Hashem wants in a miracle is only in reference to the nature part, but not into the essence of the nature. But nevertheless, but since because of the rules and the laws of nature, there's no room that nature should operate in a way of a miracle. It's nature, it's not a miracle. And the change that takes place in nature is because Hashem rules over nature. And therefore, the acceptance of nature is actually a true acceptance. So I was connecting the idea of the Bittul of Kabbalah Soil, where it's a real acceptance to the acceptance in nature to accept the miracle. So based on this, Rebbe explains beautifully, and he says like this. This, now we'll understand what it means. Arenu, when Mashiach comes, Arenu will see the Nefleis, the wonders. When Mashiach comes. Why is that? That means even the miracles, which are enclosed with the nature, it's also going to be on the level we're going to see the wonders, which means we're going to see the miracle. It means even in the miracle itself. In other words, what does that mean? Now, in Gullus, nature covers over the miracle. We don't see it as a miracle. The fact that you're seeing and you're hearing and you're breathing and all that stuff, you don't see it as a miracle. Why is that? Even though it's a miracle, you don't see it as a miracle. You see it as nature. When Mashiach comes, you're going to see it's a miracle. And like we ever explained before, that the change, which is basically the miracle that happens in the nature, is opposite the laws of nature. And therefore, the miracles that are above nature are much more revealed. But this, when Mashiach comes, that the miracles that are in nature, it's going to be in a way, arenu, just like a miracle above nature, you see it now, but when Mashiach comes, a miracle in nature, you're going to see that as well. You know, so you're going to see the miracle in the nature. Why is that? Because when Mashiach comes, nature is going to get elevated. That means even nature is going to be a vessel for the revelation of the infinite part of Hashem that's coming into it, and therefore the miracles that are clothed in nature are also going to be in a revealed state. So that's the revolutionary idea of when Mashiach comes. Arenu, what are we going to see? Neflois, the miracles. That's when Mashiach comes. What does that mean? We're literally going to see the miracles in nature, and we're going to see the miracle itself. Because the miracle waits in nature right now. It means even after you have the infinite part of Hashem, which is basically a miracle, but nevertheless, nature remains nature. Because it's not because of its essence, it's not a vessel to receive to reveal the infinite part of Hashem. But nevertheless, it obviously has enough power that still is a miracle. But however, when the Mashiach comes, we're going to have both qualities. That the revelation of the infinite part, the Eretz Yisrael B'Ligvul, is going to be in nature. But on the other hand, there's not going to be an existence which is not going to allow the revelation to be revealed. It means also the nature will be a vessel for the light, the infinite part of Hashem. So in other words, in theory, the Rebbe doesn't say this, we can notice the difference between now and Mashiach comes is right now the miracles within nature are there. The only thing is that the nature doesn't allow itself to be revealed. When Mashiach comes, we're going to see it. If you want to start living Mashiach today, start seeing the miracles that are within nature. Side note. Okay. So obviously he liked to connect this, which known, that when Mashiach comes, it says that the soul is going to actually receive nourishment from the body itself. What does that mean? Because today, before Mashiach comes, the body receives its nourishment from the soul. And when Mashiach comes, the soul is going to receive its nourishment from the body. In other words, even though when Mashiach comes, you can still have a physical body, but nevertheless, where's the body going to eat from? It's going to eat physical food. Its nourishment's going to come from godliness. And you're not going to have physical eating and drinking. Obviously, different stages of Mashiach. But in one stage of Mashiach coming, you're going to have the body, and you're not going to need physical food. And not only the body is going to be higher than the soul. Why is that? Because the acceptance of the body, where it's going to accept godliness, is going to reach a higher level than the acceptance of the soul. In other words, the soul accepts God. Today, the soul doesn't accept God. When Mashiach comes, it's going to see, and it's going to accept, and it's going to accept on a deeper level. And notice, why is that? Because this is the soul accepts godliness. Why? Because the soul is spiritual. So that's who it is. The soul is spiritual. But on the other hand, when you go ahead and you work on yourself, and to refine your body, the physical body, and the body accepts God, not because who it is, because the body is a body. So why is it accepting? Because it finally came to the realization that it's godliness. It had to work on itself. So, but now, before Mashiach comes, the acceptance of the soul is its whole essence is totally accepting. And the body is only its coarse parts accepting. It's still what it is. It's still physical. It's accepting. However, Mashiach comes, the acceptance of the body is going to have both components. On one hand, it's going to be because it's Hashem, that's why it's accepting, but it's also going to be in its whole essence, just like the soul. And that's why when Mashiach comes, the soul is actually going to receive its nourishment from the body. So obviously you can say, this is also one of the explanations, in reference to the revelation that's going to take place in the future when Mashiach comes. So the author writes, has never wrote quotes in many, many places in Chassidus, that when all the revelations that's going to take place when Mashiach comes is dependent on what? I'll say it in Hebrew, Ma'aseinu, it's a quote from Tanya, Ma'aseinu v'avedaseinu v'zman hagalus, our actions and our work in exile. Why is that? Because the true acceptance is we're in our work, in Gullus, right now, in exile, right now, that's when we have the real power of acceptance. Why? Because the acceptance, when we had the temple, and then basically we were able to comprehend godliness, and we went up to the temple, we saw godliness. So what happens then is, our whole being was able to feel and see godliness. However, today in exile, and especially in a generation before Mashiach's coming, so we don't see godliness. We don't comprehend God, at least from that level. So, but on the other hand, through our work of acceptance, bittul of Kabbalah soil, and it's not because who we are, but why are we accepting? Because obviously we realize there's a God in the world. So obviously it's much more powerful. And this is what it's explained in many different Hasidic discourses of the Rebbeim in the explanation of the verse. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humblest person of any person that lived. That means Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humblest, any person that lived past, present, and future. What does that mean? That means it was referring to specifically, he looked forward, Moshe Rabbeinu looked, he had the power of vision, and he looked at the generation, our generation, the generation before Mashiach coming, and he saw, oh my gosh, it's so dark, such concealment. But nevertheless, we're standing strong. What do we mean we're standing strong? We're learning Torah. We're observing the mitzvot. We're going on self-sacrifice. So, like, and Herbert used the expression of the expression is, and I'll say it in Yiddish, is Moshe Rabbeinu by Zichar Rabgefahren. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what? Who am I compared to the generation before Mashiach comes? You know, it's such darkness and you're still committed to Hashem? And it was Moshe Rabbeinu's humbleness, but Nachnu Ma, he had the highest level of acceptance. And it was he accepted the level of Yichud Eilah. He saw God. He was totally one with God. However, our work in this generation is what type of acceptance? We're totally accepting. We don't see God. We don't feel it. It's mere serious effort. It's self-sacrifice. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the highest level of acceptance, he was totally, and I'll say it again, a rupka fallen. He was totally fell down because of what? Looking at the acceptance of that we do of Kabbalah soil and Mesiras Nefesh of this generation, and that's why all the revelations of the future when Mashiach comes is dependent on what our actions, our work, when in now in Galus. Why? Because the main revolutionary idea of all the revelation that's going to be when Mashiach comes, what's going to be then revealed? The infinite part of Hashem in the nature and the physical body. And their acceptance, not because they're totally, they feel it, because of godliness. And that revelation is going to come through the acceptance of our generation of Kabbalah soil, self-sacrifice in the time of Golus. Now, even though that the miracles that took place when we left Egypt, they were above nature, like we said. Water, blood, splitting a sea, and a remnant of flies when Mashiach comes. We're going to see what the wonders in the nature, which means the miracles in nature, and but nevertheless we're going to see those miracles in nature. We're going to see it as a miracle. When is that going to be when Mashiach comes? So therefore, Egypt is one thing, above nature. When Mashiach comes, within nature, but we're going to see it. But nevertheless, as we know that the opening of the door. The opening of the possibility of all redemptions, even the one in the future when Mashiach comes, when did that opening of that redemption start? It started when we left Egypt. So you could say that even when we left Egypt, there was a component of a renu neflois, even though the main thing is going to be Mashiach comes. But you must say that even in Egypt, you had the component of a renu neflois, which means you were able to see the miracles within nature. But it was concealed. And when Mashiach comes, then it's going to be revealed. And that's why it says, Ki made Seis Chomeret Yisrael, like the days when we went out of Egypt. So obviously there was a component of seeing the miracles within nature. Arenu, we're going to see the miracles in nature literally when Mashiach comes. And the verse is comparing the wonders that it's going to be like when Mashiach comes to the wonders when we left Egypt. And even though the wonders when Mashiach comes, it's going to be much greater, and it's going to come from the body, from Hashem itself, not with his whole entourage, like in Egypt. Because when we left Egypt, that was the opening of all possibilities of any redemption, and therefore we had the miracles that are in nature, but it was obviously more in a concealed way. And the verse is specific, and it says, "Ki made seis chomer to triumph." Like the days, and we said before, plural, right? What's plural? So it's not only going out of Egypt, it's also going on the splitting of the sea. That was on the seventh day when we left Egypt. Why is that? to point out that when it came to going, when it came to splitting the sea, it opened up the possibility, and it's included in a concealed way. Also, the splitting of the sea, which is going to be like when Mashiach comes, like the verse says clearly, Hashem is going to go ahead and split the sea later on as well. Mashiach comes, and not only that, you're going to have besides the sea, you're going to have the splitting of the Nahar, the stream, which is going to be like Mashiach comes, like it says the verse, he called the Shiva Nachalim. That means that even though that the splitting of the Nahar when Mashiach comes is much greater than splitting a sea within the times of Egypt, because as we know, splitting a sea was the union on a spiritual level of Atzilut, the first world, and Biyav, it's Riyatziyasiya. And on the other hand, splitting of the Nahar is the unification of all the world, Atzilus, Briya, Tziyasiya, with the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than Atzilus. But nevertheless, at the splitting of the sea that took place in Egypt, already in there was included in a concealed way the splitting of the sea and the river, everything that's going to be what Mashiach comes. Rebbe says that you can say that the connection between these two the ideas with Aren Naflois, that means we're going to see the miracles in nature. What does that mean? That in the miracles that's going to be when Mashiach comes, we're also going to have the miracle of splitting of the sea and splitting of the rivers, like it says, plural, that the miracles that are enclosed within nature is also going to be the way that we're going to see it. Why? And it applies to everything. Why? Because this, that in the future when Mashiach comes, the nature is not going to conceal on the miracles. Why is that? Because you're going to have the union of the Oyer and Sof HaBligul, the infinite part of Hashem, with the limitation of the world. And how's that going to happen? It's going to happen through the splitting of the sea and splitting of the Nahar. And the verse explains that this, when Mashiach comes, we're going to have a renewed place. We're going to see the miracles. In reference to those two components, it's just like when we left Egypt, which basically created the possibility when we left Egypt, obviously in a concealed state. Never finish up, and he says like this. We could say that this that the verse adds, after it says, in the prophet, he puts his hand on the river, and he says, that we went with our shoes. Why does he add that? Why does he go add that part? And he explains like this: just like when it comes to shoes, literally, how are they made? They're made from hide of an animal, core, thick hide. Now, in order to take the hide from an animal, and you should be able to go ahead and make it for a shoe, like that you can wear on your feet. How do you do that? You have to literally soften the hide. Now, because the hide in itself, before you soften it, it's very, very hard. You can't even bend it. And specifically, when you soften it, from its hard, from being it so hard, you can bend it, and you can make the shape of a shoe. The same thing also applies on a spiritual level. This that we're going to go in with our shoes is referring to that you're going to soften up the nature and the body and your animal soul. And when you've softened it up from its hardness, that should be, it shouldn't be as strong like a cedar tree, but it should be soft like a branch. And that's basically our spiritual work of working out the hides. Why? Because the main work that we have is to work with our nature. And like the author writes in Tanya clearly, about someone that serves Hashem, you have to serve Hashem, you have to work out the hides, you got to become softer, the body, the nature, etc. And by doing that, we create the refinement, not only in the nature of a person, but in the human being, but also in the nature of the whole world. And that's what it means, Oyved Elokim, we serve Elokim. We know Elokim is the same, obviously, hey, instead of the Yud, is the same numerical value as Hateva, nature. which 86, Elokim and Hateva is 86, same numerical value. That what we do is we work out the natural world, ourselves, and the world that should be that comes from the shame Elokim. And that's why the prophet says, "V'hainif yodei alnar Hashem went ahead and go ahead and split the nar, and we went with our shoes in." This that in the future Mashiach comes, we're going to have the union of the materialistic natural world with the infinite part of Hashem, which is very, very powerful. So what is the preparation? By splitting the sea and by doing our work with acceptance that a person forces himself again to go against his nature. So based on the Shabbat says, you can explain why the Zohar says, Arenu Neflois, we're going to see wonders. What does the Zohar say? Why does it say, doesn't say Arecha, you're going to see. Arenu, why is it used an expression of without being direct? Because the Zohar says referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is that? Because who took us out of Egypt? Moshe Rabbeinu took us out. And as we know, that we learned already before, that the redemption of going out of Egypt, that was the possibility, opened all the possibilities for all future redemptions. So now Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that opened up all the possibilities for all the miracles, which is going to be in the future. But in Egypt, it was a concealed state. And that's why it says, Ki made says, like the days of going out of Egypt, when Moshe Rabbeinu started the process, Renu, we're going to see in the place in the future, that in the future, what's going to get revealed is the miracles that were started when we went out of Egypt. And you could possibly also say that this, that we're going to see the miracles. And it says in not a direct way, and we said it's going on Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is that? Because it's coming to teach a very, very powerful lesson for each and every one of us. That in order to merit, to see the miracles of the future, how do we do that? By revealing the Moshe that's within us. We all have the Moshe within us. Now, even though the acceptance of Moshe is the highest level of acceptance, like we called it the acceptance of Yichudei Elah, which comes from revelations, and on the other hand, bringing down, seeing the miracles in the material world comes from the acceptance of Kabbalah Soil, but nevertheless, in order that this acceptance should be in a revealed state, Arena, we should see it, you also need to have the acceptance of the revealed state of the acceptance of Yichudei Elah. And those, basically, how do we get that? By meditating on the fact that everything in this world, you can't compare, obviously, to Hashem. And when a person meditates on those two components, meaning to say, is you have the acceptance working on yourself, but also the acceptance of the revelation, we will have Arenu Niflois. We're going to see the miracles. I mean, we're going to see within nature. And the miracles of the future is going to be revealed in the materialistic world. And when is that going to happen? Like the Rebbe finishes off so beautifully and powerfully, B'bias, Mashiach, Tzidkenu, with the coming of Mashiach, B'karoiv, Mamash, very, very soon. So here we have another very, very powerful, beautiful Hasidic discourse of the Rebbe. Beautiful ideas about different levels of miracles that take place in the world, but and the real power that we have in our times that we're living in today by doing our avodah with Kabbalah Soil, Mesiras Nefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu looked and said, "Hey, this is the generation because we have the real power to do Kabbalah Soil." So let's hope and pray that we do our avodah of Kabbalah Soil in this world, and we get to see, God willing, a render place in the future in the physical world, the real miracles. And let's hope and pray, like the Rebbe brings from Tanya, that by us doing our avodah in this work, that's what we'll merit. And let's hope we can even merit, this I'm adding on my own, that we can merit to see, we can merit to practice and experiencing seeing the miracles of Hashem in the nature of this world. Like the Rebbe finishes off, let's hope the Mashiach comes, and next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.